Welcome to Filter Optional. I am Chico West.
And I am Shannon West. We are two people doing the work out loud, hoping to encourage others along the way.
Join us as we unpack life with no filter
and a filter.
Hello, Shannon. That was a big yawn.
I know.
Right there.
Sorry, I yawned right
when we were doing it.
I had to go ahead and get it out.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I've had a busy day already, but I'm good. I had a doctor's appointment that you don't even know about.
I don't know about it. You want to share with everybody and me at the same time, or you want to pause that?
Sure. No, I went to a rheumatologist because my GI doctor referred me to a rheumatologist because I was having a little joint stiffness. But then I also, in the meantime, I had my hormones checked, and I'm for sure in perimenopause. Like, I did, you know, I'm a wreck. I'm a 52. Am I 52?
You are 52.
I'm 52?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So
you have the easiest birthday. You're born in 1970. And so just,
oh, that's true.
Boom.
True.
It's always zero.
Sorry, true. Anyway, so I got a lot going on health-wise, but I almost, it's weird how psychosomatic some things can be. I mean, I was already starting, my joints were already starting to feel a little better because I've been doing some other stuff, but my blood work was outstanding. All
Sounds
my inflammatory
like me.
Markers were great. It does sound like you, but I am not a hypo, and I don't take on other people's symptoms. Like if they share with me they have a tummy bug, I don't automatically like, oh, my stomach hurts.
I kind of do that.
You do that.
I have a little hypochondria.
I don't, but I had this test. Ironically, the interesting part about it is that I had this blood test like, what, 5 weeks ago or so or something?
Four or five weeks ago.
So I've had time to adjust doing some things and then have made me feel better. So, but at the time of the test was when I felt bad, and my blood work looks great, and then they did x-rays, and it shows no erosion or arthritis.
Well, I was going to say, at the time of the test, it was 115 in Dallas.
Right.
And it was that for 62 days.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was going to say, today is a good day. Yesterday was gorgeous. This morning, I took the dogs out early.
Yeah.
And it was kind of chilly. I could have worn a pullover.
Right.
I think weather has something to do
with
that.
Yeah, I just am very encouraged because literally my prayer was that I wasn't given more information that required more like medication or a different medication than I'm on right now. I'm already in a good routine. And so I just,
you're getting this focus like, okay, hey, I got a plan. We are now officially, we kind of became empty nesters in February,
yes.
But officially now Beck is, you know, down in college, you know, and it's just us. We
it
just
is.
Got back from our, you know, before we started the show, Kevin was asking, how was your vacation? We did a joint vacation. It was anniversary / empty nester vacation.
Yes. And it was very lovely to be away and not having to worry about things. And I had brunch with a friend this morning that was helping me with some stuff, and the phone rang and it was Chico, and I had my phone on, which I usually don't. And so I turned it off and I was like, oh, I'm not answering that right now. And she was like, she could see it said Chico West, which is funny that for you, my husband, I have your whole name. Like it's another Chico calling me. But so it said Chico West, and she was like, oh, you're not going to get that. I go, no, now, because now that I'm an empty nester, Chico thinks I have all this free time to do shit for him. So he's always calling me.
I sent you some emails
this morning. I know.
Mm. Did you notice that?
That was yesterday morning, too.
Maybe it was. I did it yesterday. 2 days in a row.
Yes, you did it 2 days in a row. So anyway, so I said, I'm not answering that right now. So
I was cool with that.
I know.
You called me back.
I know. I did.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So yeah. We're back in the studio. And hey, I do want to give before we get into it. I don't know. This is probably 125th episode. We do know people are listening to it.
Yes.
Because this episode has to do with people asking us to do an episode on this. It was a couple different people. Yes. But before we get into that,
no, I'm
I want to give a big shout out for KEPX.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you.
You know, and if you want to do a podcast, they're fun. You could do another one if y'all are a couple, want to do one. Or if you want to do one to promote your business or whatever. Kevin has this great studio. The office he has is a badass office.
Very close to it.
Yes.
Yes. And so I would, you know, you can DM Shannon on social media to find out more.
It's just easier to do than you think.
Yes.
If you have a need to do a podcast, it's great.
And I can make it very easy and fun.
Yeah.
And he puts it up on all our different platforms. We're on Spotify, on iTunes, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it's just
Spotify video now. Also.
Spotify video.
Yep.
So it's good. So you can watch us, you know, just turn your Spotify if you're listening on your phone sideways and it'll pop up.
And I have to tell a funny story since you mentioned the video. Now I am in a dress that I recently bought, and the color of it is watermelon. And the funny part about this dress is that my good friend Julie had it on at lunch one day. A couple weeks ago, and I said, oh, I love your dress because it's just easy to throw on and whatever. And so she told me, so we discussed it with both our phones, I guess, sitting right next to us, about the brand, where she got it, what size she had, like the color. And she was like, it's the watermelon, because there's a pink too or whatever. And like, she was specifying what color it was and all this stuff. I shit you not, the next day on my Instagram ads, the dress popped up
right there. What I'm looking
at, looking at in the watermelon color, and it was on sale. It was the only color that was on sale because it comes in different colors, and it was the only color on sale. But it popped up on my phone, and I was
that is
Big Brother, and watching it, and then it pops up, and I was like, so I called her and I go, oh, I'm sorry, I ordered a matching dress because I got mine on sale. And she was like, well, okay, that's good. And I said, I need to start talking about things that I want more so that they'll pop up on sale. Anyway, that's kind of an aside, but this is watermelon is the color.
And I like it. It looks very good on you.
But I just think when you talk so specifically, your phone is listening. I'm just saying.
Yes.
It's listening.
And we might do an episode on that. But what we want to... What we want to do is, we've asked in previous episodes, hey, if you have a topic that you think that we might be able to discuss, we are going to give it our best effort right here. And this is a topic that I'm excited, but I got to give Ashley, you know, a little shout out because she asked for it. And then, you know, I went to our church and I did a podcast there, and you know, there was a woman there that, you know, said the same thing. She goes, oh, you need to do an episode on this.
Yeah.
You know, and she gave an example that I'm going to use.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
But I'm not telling her name or anything like that.
Yeah, thank you. I was about to say, because...
But it was perfect.
Yeah. Because now we can... I kind of could dive into this topic with a little bit of... Without being an empty nester, having kids still under our roof, I would hesitate to dive into this topic because of fear of offending someone or whatever. But now that we're still parents, but we're empty nesters, I feel like I can dive a little bit more into this. And I have some personal, now that I've had time to reflect on some of the parenting stuff that goes on.
But so here, I'm gonna kind of frame it up. I like it.
Okay, go ahead.
I think it gives us a little more leeway since we are empty nesters. But I think, you know, I thought about it too, though. Even though we're empty nesters, I think it still happens. I think it goes on with even after. It's more pronounced.
But I am able to recognize and identify it in different ways, so we can just get into it and talk about it.
But it's more pronounced when you have kids still under your roof and in school and stuff like that. But the topic today is parent shaming.
Yes.
You know, and so the parent shaming happens, you know, with us shaming ourselves, you know, or other parents shaming. And I don't even know if it's if they're coming out it just overtly shaming you, but sometimes it is truly overtly shaming.
Well, and I want to talk about, we're going to get into it.
Yes.
But we're also
Can I give an example?
Sure.
Okay.
I was going to add, you said sometimes it's us shaming ourselves
yes.
as parents. Sometimes it's parents shaming other parents. But I want to talk specifically, and we'll get into it. I'm just setting it up. Okay, Chico.
Okay, I like it.
I was going to get you to set it up. Okay.
You know.
Were you?
I was.
You said right before we started, Kevin, back me up.
Follow my lead.
Mm-hmm. Let me start. Let me set it up.
And you haven't.
You can't land the plane. Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought you were ready to launch into it by saying sometimes it's ourselves, sometimes it's parent to parent. You didn't
and
include.
Then,
and what?
And
what
then
else?
I was going to say, it's parent to child, other
yes.
parents shaming others. But I was going to do that down the road, okay. you know, but that's all right. I can throw that out there. We'll get to that.
I want people to continue to listen.
Yes.
If they think we're just going to talk about
parent to parent
or ourselves. No, this is parent to kid.
Also.
Yes. Also. Okay.
So, but I want to give an example. So this woman I was talking to last week, she goes, oh, yeah, you need to do it on parent shaming. I was going to go to parents' night back at my kid's school, and she has a kid that's, you know, a senior, and she goes, I just didn't want to deal with the parent shaming. And I go, well, here, give me an example of what you mean by parent shaming. Well, I was going to show up, and they're going to ask, okay, have you gotten this SAT or ACT tutor? You know, what schools are y'all looking at and all this? And it's like, you know, this total parent shaming.
You know, early decision is by December 1st. And
yeah,
so
or November 1st.
You've got to apply by November 1st, or you got to get your, you know, stuff in by September.
You know, oh, what schools are you looking at and stuff like that.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and then I was on the golf course, and I was playing golf on Friday, and I had a buddy that was talking about another guy that was – in the group, there was 20 of us playing, but he wasn't in our foursome. And he shared, he goes, yeah, my, you know, so-and-so met my daughter and goes, and he went, he, you know, this guy went to OU, okay?
Yes.
And the guy I was playing with went to OU, and his daughter was at OU. And he goes, and the guy that shamed his daughter,
okay.
He has a daughter that's, you know, going to one of the private schools, and he asked this girl last year, what's your first choice? And she goes, OU. He goes, oh, my daughter wouldn't go to OU. She's going somewhere else. She studied too hard. But this girl had turned down scholarships to Georgia and to Texas. She wanted to go to OU.
Yeah.
And that's that parent to child shaming.
It is. Well, they did it to Travis when he had the opportunity to go play football at Stanford, and he came to me and said, as his mom, and he said, Mom, you know, what if Stanford's not the place for me or whatever? And I go, well, then it's not the place for you. And he goes, yeah, but I'm tired of being called an idiot, or I don't want to be called an idiot. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, every adult that asks me, so what schools are you looking at? And I tell them the three schools or whatever that I am looking at to play football. They all say, without exception, well, you'd be an idiot not to go to Stanford.
Yeah.
If you have that opportunity.
And he talked to me separately, too. He goes, Dad, every guy that's your age is telling me I'm an idiot if I don't go to Stanford.
If I don't choose that, I'm an idiot. So he goes, I don't want to be an idiot. And I go, well, it's not their life, and they're not having to pay the tuition because it was a walk-on offer. It wasn't a scholarship offer.
Yeah.
So I said, maybe we're not idiots if we send you to the state school that, you know.
Yeah, but Biden would, you know.
Oh, stop. Okay, anyway. So, anyway.
I couldn't help myself.
Oh, no, stop. But that is, yes, that is parent shaming towards kids.
Yeah, but then there's, but let's first talk about, you know,
so you're the one
parent to parent. Yes. Okay. You know, how, you know, what do you think is going on with parent to parent shaming?
I think that partly there is a fear in every parent's, for every parent's, like, you know, headspace or whatever. There's a fear that whatever is happening maybe to another kid might happen to their kid too. So the shaming comes from a fear. It all kind of comes from fear of, like, ooh, if I let my kid hang out with that kid, so-and-so, then something terrible is going to happen to my kid. And so that parent might... it's a fear, I think. When the kids are... I think parents feel
rooted
like
in
they're
protection.
Rooted in protection.
Yeah.
And I think that, so if when the kids are younger and they, you know, say I invite so-and-so over for a play date and the mom is like, yeah, well, we're not available and we're not. And then it, when it comes down to it, you know, they're like, I'm sorry, we don't agree with what's going on in your house or whatever, you know, then that's parent-to-parent shaming. And then I think it also, parents feel like if they are seen as aligned with other parents, that it might taint their reputation or their image as a parent. Like, if you...
Yeah, give me an example. I mean, I think I know what you're talking about, but, you know, if people are out there listening, you know, sometimes we can think, oh, that doesn't happen, but we can do it ourselves.
Right.
You know, like, I am guilty.
So you see, maybe you know, first of all, some things about a kid that the parents don't know, because that happens a lot. You don't know some of the things that your kids are doing. And by the way, that goes vice versa. That goes all the way around. But if you don't maybe know, and you're not making your kid has made a bad decision and they're a teenager and you don't take their car away or something, like they have a wreck and maybe you don't take the car away. That's not the decision that you make. That's not the route you take.
Yeah, and I mean, those are pretty classic ones. What I was
I haven't even finished the example.
Okay, go ahead.
So if people are judging that decision, it has nothing to do with their child, the safety of their child, or protection of their child. It has nothing, if those decisions have nothing to do with their child, or nothing to do with them, but they're still shaming it. Like, I'm not going to align myself. I'm not going to co-sign that, or I'm not going to even talk to my friend anymore about kids or whatever, because I am ashamed of the decisions that they're making. And so I don't want to be associated. Like, I don't want people to be like, oh, you're friends with Shannon. Well, she's, you know, you must parent the same way or something. I mean, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Not really. Yeah. And so that's why I was.
It makes sense to me as a woman, and I think I think women are going to resonate with that. But
maybe. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What I was thinking more, like, examples, how come? I think you're right. It is, you know, it is fear. It's that fear of protection, and the parent to parent shaming is, you know, like the example of going to, you know, parents' night, you know, at the school, and asking, oh, have you signed up for the SAT course? Have you done this? Have you done that? It's like, I think where that comes from is that fear, but also that fear of insecurity. If my kid doesn't get in, then for some reason, you know, I'm a bad parent, you know? And so we overcompensate is where I'm seeing it. It's this sense of overcompensation. Does that make sense?
A little bit, but that just wasn't my experience with the public school situation. That wasn't my experience. It was more rooted in a, you know, popularity contest, really.
I think it does that too.
You know,
yeah. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that.
There is the whole school thing or whatever, but that's, I mean, that's not for the majority of people, that may not be the sticking point of parent shaming, is the college stuff. I mean, whatever. But it's more of a, I like the whole social engineering
aspect of parent.
And
yeah.
Example, I read this article today, just today. But it's like the new bullying is not mom to mom bullying, but rather moms picking on kids. And
yeah.
It's called social engineering. And it says that somebody was quoted saying, everyone's heard of helicopter parenting. This is taking it one step further. It's social bullying, the desire to elevate their kids' social status at the expense of other kids. So,
okay. And so that's where, like, let's pause on that.
Yeah.
Let's get back to what I'm saying. I think I'm saying kind of the same thing, is when parents are going asking other parents, what are you doing? Yes, that is that, you know, that's social engineering, you know, in that bullying. But I think the same thing's happening when you're looking at colleges or you're looking at sports teams or stuff like that. And parent to parent, it's like, you know, it's elevating your kid.
Yes, but I think it starts like in preschool. And so I think we just have to, I don't want to solely concentrate on like a senior in high school example.
I don't disagree.
The college stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like, I'm trying to give other examples to go along with that,
mm-hmm.
because it starts when you want your elementary age kid that doesn't know the difference to be playing with the right kids on the playground. And that's where the mom bullying starts, mom to kid bullying starts, is when they're little enough to take it, you know? Like, for example, when Beck was in seventh grade, so they're not driving, they're not, you know, whatever, and at pickup, Beck was wrestling with a friend. It was friendly boy wrestling, like out in a crowd or whatever. And the mom came out of nowhere and grabbed Beck and said, don't you ever put your hands on my son again. And Beck was like, whoa, like we were just, and then he came home and told me about it. He was totally shamed in front of basically everyone in his grade because it was all out on the front lawn at pickup.
Yeah.
And she came out of nowhere and it was friendly. They were not fighting. And so it starts back when the kids are, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched moms totally shame kids on a playground at pickup, you know, in elementary school. And
not even our kids.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Like, but, and so where do you think, you're saying it comes out of fear, you know, being a mom? What, you know, anything else?
I mean, I do think that there are parents that really think that in order to get their kids ahead in the world, and whether it's sports or even academically or whatever it is,
socially,
they really have to put other kids down. They got to hold other people back.
Knock them down a notch or
something. Yeah, they've got to make
instead
sure
of,
that
instead of lifting them up.
That they have this, they've got to make sure they're always, and they're look, I think they look, I think nowadays there are parents out there that look for the opportunity. I think this mom was looking for an opportunity to embarrass Beck in front of all his friends.
Okay, so pause
because
for a second.
Because Beck was outgoing and, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, so pause for a second. Okay. Now, we've talked in previous episodes, and see if you can track with me, and I think I will land the plane.
Okay. All right.
But track with me for a second in the sense of I agree with you, and you give a great example. And so getting back to my original question of where do you think it comes from, I think we've talked on previous episodes about trauma and how trauma plays out, okay?
Yes.
And so what I'm saying for the listeners out there, there's this parenting shame. And so you come home and you hear something happen like you just gave about the example back in seventh grade, or your kid just got shamed, you know, parent shamed, you know, that social engineering, you know, they're trying to manipulate the system, and your little girl got left out of a, if there's 12 girls in the class and 10 get invited to, you know, the birthday party, and she purposely doesn't hand it to your daughter, you know, mm-hmm. And we've, you know, we've talked to, you know, it, you see it happening right now, you know, it's presently that, you know, our kids are college and out of college, and just the sorority crap and, you know, yeah. all this stuff. I think it's happening because it's unresolved trauma, and they're just repeating this pattern, and they really think they're protecting and rescuing.
Yes.
And so it's this insecurity that's happening. And so if you're a parent out there and you've seen this happen to your kids, it's like, I'm not saying to deny it or stick your head in the sand, right. or do stuff like that, but to recognize it's probably some unresolved crap in their life,
yes.
that is playing out by orchestrating their kids' lives.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think that parents have gotten away with the kind of the team mentality, the community mentality. It's all kind of been like, you know, eat or die. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, you got feast or famine. Like, you've got to feast on the opportunities that you're given, and it doesn't matter who's fallen to the wayside. For example, with Travis, I can give this example because it was also middle school. So Travis was a receiver on the football team.
Yeah.
And a child on the football team was the backup receiver, and he's a great kid, okay? So I can look back now. It's so many years later, you're breathing really heavy again. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
Kevin, what do you think? Okay.
I get used to it, but I don't notice anymore.
Yeah, and then when you're listening, it's annoying. But so, great kid now, very successful and whatever. But at the time in his life, he just really wanted his dad was going to come to the football game to watch the game. And his dad had been, I won't even say what he was doing, but he had been out of town working. And but he was coming to this game. And all this child wanted to do was to get in the game. But he knew if Travis was there, he wasn't going to get in the game. So he stole his cleats before the game.
I know.
And then, so Travis calls me from the locker room right before they get on the bus and said, somebody stole my cleats. They're not in my locker. Okay.
I love that kid, though.
I do too. I so much. And I never shamed the child. We figured it out and we worked it out. I think I went and bought him cleats, like, and took him to the stadium. I mean, it was fine. And, but that kid, just, he didn't deserve shame for that, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of a quite clever way to try to make it happen. But and his parents aren't the type to shame other kids too, and they're all about community. And so I just think parents don't stick up for each other nowadays, or they don't understand things like that. Like, if that had happened to someone else, I think he would have been shamed and outed, and like everybody would have been talking about it. And it just, he didn't need that because of, like you said, the trauma. He was experiencing trauma of his own, just wanting his dad to be, you know, whatever. And he didn't need add on, you know, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good example. It's like, you know, there wasn't that, but that I actually love that example. You know, that was over 10 years ago or
yeah.
whatever. And it's and I remember laughing about that. And I remember where the game was played. It was down in Pleasant
yes,
Grove.
Totally. Yeah. Completely.
And he got in. And I think he scored.
He got in on his own, right?
Yes.
It was fine. Anyway, so,
but
yeah, I just
but the deal is, it's
there's
like
a lot of
But parent shaming comes up, and what goes on in you when you're shamed from another parent on, you know, your parenting, and, you know, oh, you should do this, you should do that, we should all over each other, or yes. Have you done this, you know, and it's asked with an inflection, oh, you didn't do that,
right?
You know, or there's this questioning, and it mm-hmm. isn't that sense of community that you were talking about,
right? And just to kind of wrap it up too, because I kind of left one loose end, is that I did have parents say, well, have you confronted him? Did you tell the coaches? Has he gotten in trouble? Like, what? And I was like, no, this is over. He doesn't need to get in trouble. But there were people ready to pounce.
And where I'm going is, how yeah. come there was people ready to pounce? You know, even when we talk about trauma, I think everybody, if you go to middle school, you've been traumatized. You know,
yeah. Well,
I mean,
yeah,
middle school
completely.
Sucks.
Yes.
You know, and so it, but it's not big kind of, some people have big trauma, but it's not that trauma. And so it's like people are ready to pounce, I yes. believe, from their own middle school situations.
Sure.
It brings back up, oh, how you were rejected, or, you know, how
and you
were wrong.
You want to try to protect your children from all of that, and you can't.
Yeah. And so you get in there. And so, but when you're having these feelings come up, because you will, if you don't have kids, or if you're getting ready to have kids, or you have kids, you're going to experience this.
Yes.
There is parent shaming happening every day across the country. There's articles written about it. SNL will even do kind of skits on it.
Yes.
You know, and so what do we do when it's happening to us? You know, so there's different forms of it. And what we were talking about is that social engineering is, we got to help our kids, you know, learn how to, you know, speak up and stand up for themselves, you know, in an appropriate way to an adult.
Right.
You know, but when it's parent to parent, it's like, okay, you know, sometimes the best response is no response, but
right.
sometimes another good response is, you know, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that's a little, I know that where you come from with that, and that's passive aggressive, but the way you say it.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing. You know, but I have all these things that I save, of course, on my Instagram, you know, that are pertinent. It says, no one has the right to judge you because no one really knows what you have been through. They might have heard the stories, but they didn't feel what you felt in your heart. And so I think that sometimes when this parent-to-parent shaming comes up or whatever, I think that sometimes no response is a correct response because they can't possibly know the whole story. But just sharing that, saying, I appreciate you saying that, but I know the whole story, and I'm going to handle this the way I'm going to handle it. But, you know, it doesn't require, I think I've always thought that when I and on the receiving end of the shame, and when Beck or Travis have been on the receiving end of parent to kid shame, I have taught them to go into it apologetically. And
has that been healthy?
No. And so okay. I've just realized this about myself in my counseling yes. session this week, last week, because it's Monday. Last week, I realized that I move into conflict conversations apologetically. I try to own,
soften the blow.
No, I try to quote unquote own my side of it, or say I try to create a vulnerable environment by making myself vulnerable it's softening, but I try to be relatable or be vulnerable. And so I move into these conversations apologetically, and I've taught my kids to do that. And so when they are being shamed by an adult, they're apologizing for shit that they didn't do.
So you're kind of creating a codependent.
Yeah, I own that.
Okay.
I mean, are you parent shaming me now?
No, I'm just.
Yes, you are.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
Kevin.
Yes.
There's a little bit.
There's a little bit.
I was just
Are you creating codependent? That's parent shaming.
No, that was just asking a curious question. Yes, thank you, Kevin.
No. In a semi-judgmental way.
Yeah, they, thank you, Kevin. Anyway, so I am trying to be vulnerable and recognize, and I think that if everyone can kind of take a look at, we don't need to teach our kids, and we don't need to move into things apologetically when it's a difference of opinion about how you handle life and situations. And I have learned that way firsthand. And I'm reading this article, and the examples
happen to us.
They,
like the example of the camp.
That's incredible that it's in here. Like, and it was about a girl, and I'm like, we have boys, so it wasn't
a girl, because we don't have girls,
right?
But the gist of it.
Social engineering was the parent wanted to
make sure
that her son was in the right cabin
Her daughter was in the right cabin.
No, for us personally.
For us personally, yes.
It was the article. It was a girl.
Yes.
And so the mom called the camp to make sure that the girl was in the right, totally socially engineered the entire situation, and that happened to us.
Yes.
And
called
our
camp
son,
director.
Yes. And our son was bullied the entire camp because of that decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just, and then he I feel like Beck suffered from the parent shaming for whatever reason, the dynamic of his grade and things like that. He suffered from it a whole lot more. Maybe it was his behavior too, but you know,
a little bit of his behavior and his personality.
He has a little more. I've owned it. Listen, I'm not moving into this conversation apologetically because I've already apologized for Beck. Yeah. So, and he's apologized for himself, but he suffered from it a whole lot more, I think. But I realized that it created, at an early, early age, it created a fight or flight feeling within Beck. I mean, we all live in that, you know, but I think his nervous system, because of shame, and you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do that, and but stop it, and whatever, I think it created a terrible trauma situation within his nervous system where he was always in fight or flight. Like, if he was confronted, he would either try to fight or escape.
Yeah,
leave
but
the situation.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
totally. But I don't want to talk about Beck. I want to talk about that example is a great example that was in the article.
Yes.
About the girl. The example is if we step back and look at it now years later.
Yes.
Okay. You know, we know the mom that called and so, you know, and socially engineered to make sure her son was protected. Knowing her, and this is, you know, a guess as a therapist, you know.
Yes.
That she was just driven by fear.
Yes.
You know, driven by fear, thinking she is protecting.
Yes.
You know, believing that Beck could handle a different cabin.
Yes.
I mean, so I'm not even, you know, looking at her or faulting her.
Right.
You know, but the deal is, the reason there's this parent shaming is because, going back to what you said earlier, I like it, is we don't grow up in this sense of community. Kids are going to make mistakes. Parents are going to make mistakes.
Right.
Where is this sense of forgiveness? Where is this sense of
grace?
Yes, grace. Where is this sense of mercy?
Right.
You know, where is this place that we can, man, okay, hey, we don't have our shit together.
And we can, where's this sense of we can all succeed?
Yeah.
We all have a place, and whatever you think success is, like, I mean, that's the only reason I was trying to talk about Beck, but I was trying to talk about, as a parent, how to recognize it and see it, and also not move our kid. I am admitting I've moved my kid into apologetically living.
Yes.
And that's not the best thing, because the parent, just because they're an adult and an authority figure in some way, doesn't mean they're healthy or that they're right in their shaming. The kids shouldn't have to absorb. It's just like saying a kid should put up with abuse just because it's an adult. Like, that's not okay.
Amen.
Okay, so.
Amen.
It's learning to write. I wish I could have gone back, and when Beck was confronted on the playground, I wish I would have handled that differently. Because I just said,
you didn't have the tools.
I didn't.
You know, we did it.
And I was like, just don't wrestle anymore after school. And he's like, what the hell, Mom? And that's what everybody does. Like, we all do. Boys do that.
Especially during puberty.
Yes. I mean, broke brains.
Yeah. What's going on is, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm going, okay, where have I parent shamed? You know, I know
me too.
I know I've done that, and I've done it out of my insecurity.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I've done that, you know, with going, okay, hey, you know, look at me. We're doing a good job. You know, what are you doing? You know, and kind of framing it up in a curious way, but really, you know, giving my evidence. You know, and so we've gotten away from this place of you know, that vulnerability. We've gotten away from this place of recognizing that, man, kids make mistakes.
Right.
They mess up. You know, I was looking at those, you know, you're 52, you know, of those movies that came out when we were in high school, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. I mean, it talked about kids making mistakes.
Right.
You know, and... You didn't.
Risky business.
Risky business. You know, I mean.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes. And so kids make mistakes. It's been happening since the beginning of time.
Yes.
You know, and so a lot of the parent shaming can happen from kids making mistakes that we've framed up. But parent shaming can happen from even when your kids are doing well. Like we gave the example of Stanford and stuff like that.
Right.
And
kids can be even, you know, there is, the focus is always on kid bullying, which needs an audience and it shouldn't happen and it happens a lot. But I think as a whole, kids can come together as like, you know, like co-conspirators maybe, but also just community, and they can be more gracious of each. They forgive each other
a lot quicker,
and they can come to you know, like you got the Beastie Boys, you know, you got to fight for your right to party, you know, they come together and they they have this,
I like that analogy, yeah, the but Beastie
they have
Boys.
Yeah, they have this unspoken like kid code, you know what I mean, like.
Well, they reconcile a lot quicker.
They do.
They don't hold. I don't know. Maybe if, you know, if we as parents hold resentments and grudges,
yeah.
I think they pick up on that and they can do the same thing.
Agreed.
So it comes back down to that parent shaming is, man, do I have resentments? You know, am I jealous? Is there envy? What is going on? And then if I can begin to see in the other of the parent that is shaming me for, you know, maybe behavior, but maybe for, you know, what we think is good things. Oh, you're going to let them go with so-and-so?
Right.
You know, it's like, what is going on with them?
Right.
Do I pause long enough and go, okay, what's happening with them?
Right. No, I know. Yeah, no. I mean, that happens a lot. And it happens within people's own households, too. I think they ought to take a really honest look at themselves and how, if they shame their own children, you know, the parent kid shaming can happen obviously in your own house.
Yeah. And getting back to, I like you said, okay, yes, you told our kids to apologize, even if they're not sorry, that's what you do.
Right.
You know, and that's not healthy, but making amends, having an apology for something that you have done wrong is a good thing, you know.
There,
we're not saying don't do that. Be accountable.
Right.
Be responsible. Clean up your side of the street.
Right.
When you have wronged, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. The same thing of saying thank you. That is a good thing to do.
Right.
But I see parents, and I saw it the other day, and it's like you know, we start telling our kids at 2 years old to say thank you. You know, I did something to a, you know, said something to a kid up at the club with his dad. Say thank you. He didn't need to say thank you.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, no, let him be that 3-year-old. He's right. A cute little boy.
Right, right.
You know, I go, oh, no, you don't need to say yes, sir. Okay, yeah. I mean, there was that shaming that I grew up with. I always had to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no,
right,
ma'am.
Right.
But, you know, it just was just pure
and that does
freaking
go
shame.
A long way, but it's if it can come from their heart and their motivation and their intentions, if they can learn that. Get that sympathy chip, that empathy chip, that grace chip, that mercy chip, that those things that they
then
can
it,
spill out to other people instead of a
like automatic
obligation.
An automatic.
Yes, an automatic and unauthentic and, you know, whatever, but, you know.
So all those things are good, but then it can be, you know, what's the word? It can be exploited for not good.
Right.
And create this tension internally.
Right.
You know, so if you're listening to today, parent shaming happens all the time. And as a parent, when you're feeling that parent shame, it can be a lonely place.
Right.
You know, and then your protection, if, you know, if you're a mama bear or a papa bear, you get in there and you want to, you know, you want to rescue, you know, that parent. Kids will figure their stuff out. You know, if kids are having conflict, you don't need to get in there and you should make sure you include everybody. You know, I mean, there's that parent shaming.
Yeah.
You know, don't leave them out. We had a lot of that growing up on our street. There was all these kids there.
Well, and that's been socially engineered by parents nowadays where it's basically the squeaky wheels have been so loud that it's like you can't have a birthday party during the school year unless you invite your entire class.
Oh, yeah.
And you may or may not be friends with – I mean, okay, when Beck was 3, do you remember that? Oh, my God. So Beck was 3 years old, and I had his birthday September 5th, as we've talked about. Travis's was June 25th, so I didn't have to deal with it. It was in the summer. I didn't have to invite the whole class because he didn't have a class. So I invited the whole 3-year-old class to Beck's birthday party because you couldn't have them at school talking about Beck's birthday party if you weren't invited. And you can't rely on a 3-year-old to not talk about his birthday party. Okay, right. So
good luck, Kevin.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
All that to look forward to.
So yes. Everyone was invited. So I had a friend pick Beck up at noon, and then they bring him to our house for the birthday party at our house. And this mom shows up, and I like this mom now. You know, we've actually, from 3 to 18, we've figured our shit out, and it's all fine. But she shows up, and she comes to the door, and she goes, "Did you hear what Beck did at school today?" And I go, "No, oh, it isn't. Oh, hi, welcome to the birthday party. You want some cotton candy, you know, whatever?" And she goes, "Well, he called my daughter fat today."
What was that face, Kevin?
Like harsh. I don't know how you react to that. Yeah.
I'm like,
you go,
but that's it. I go, I'm having a girl too. I'm like, girls are so mean though, man. You gotta,
but this is a boy.
I know.
To a
girl. It's
I know, but here's the thing. So I looked at her and I said, "Well, that's horrible. That is terrible. I did not hear that because I was here and somebody's bringing him to his birthday party. And I am so sorry that that happened. And I promise you I will address it. I'm just not going to address it in the next 3 hours, you know, or whatever. I'm not going to address it right now, but I promise I will address it." Then I'm hot emailing the teachers that during the birthday party. And they emailed me back and they said, "She wasn't supposed to say anything. That's not the whole story. Apparently, she had said something to Beck first. And Beck said something like, 'Well, at least I'm not fat,' or something." I mean, they're 3.
Yeah, they really understand what they mean. I mean, see, girls do it 3. I don't know about boys. We kind of just say shit.
No, and I mean, hopefully she would never.
So
be
there was some parent shaming there. We have a lot of examples of parent shaming, and we've parent shamed, and you know.
Well, but then we had to figure it out, and then it's just like I just hope that people can move into situations where she was obviously trying to protect her daughter, but I don't know that that helped so much.
No, I'm not sure it did.
You know.
But hey, anyway, if you have other topics you would like us to discuss, we got quite a few. We're also going to bring some guests on. And so Shannon is setting that up. You can always get in touch with us down the road via how?
Okay, well, you can DM on Instagram, filter optional. You can message on Facebook, filter optional Facebook page. Or you can email us at filteroptional@gmail.com. Which needs to be checked a little more often. But, yeah.
Way to go. Thank you for today. And don't parent shame.